Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're starting in verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 21. This is God's word. "But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding irreverent and empty speech and contradictions from what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some people have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. 3 points this morning. The first is that there is a fight to be fought. There is a fight to be fought. Some people really believe that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're supposed to be utterly passive and sort of float along like a leaf on a stream. You just go with the flow. You just do whatever people around you are trying to get you to do. You try and be agreeable at all times. You don't say or do anything that other people might find off-putting. You just smile, have a be happy attitude, and whatever comes, if you're looking at something that is just obviously crazy, evil, you just say, "Well, my, that's an interesting perspective." That's not the way that Christianity is presented in the Bible. That is not a biblical view. Speaking of the view, recently there was a bit of a controversy because a very noted celebrity pastor was on the show called The View. And with the interview came an opportunity to state whether or not the pastor believed that abortion is wrong. His response was, and I hope this is a quote, it may be a paraphrase, but it's very close because I read the actual. Everyone needs to live in accordance with their conscience. Everyone needs to live according to their conscience. Would that apply for Hitler? Okay? Mr. So-and-so, do you believe that killing Jews is wrong? Well, everyone needs to live in accordance with their conscience. How's that work? Is that an okay answer? Now, I will say this. I don't believe for a skinny second that the people on The View were wanting moral guidance. Okay? It was intended as a gotcha question. So I can understand where he wouldn't necessarily want to just tell them what they're trying to get him to say. The problem is that in answering as he did, he made it appear that God hasn't spoken on this subject. And as a spokesperson for God, I got nothing to say. That's a very sad thing when there are people in this world who are looking for moral guidance, who desperately want someone to tell them, don't do it. You don't have to go down that road. And when the church, thinking we're being kind, remains silent on subjects where God has spoken, that is not okay. There is a fight to be fought. And Paul tells Timothy, verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Now, he starts out his letter to Timothy by saying in chapter 1, verse 18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the good fight. In other words, he starts his letter by saying, Timothy, I know you're a quiet kind of guy. I know you're reserved. I know you're shy. You have to resist a spirit of fear. But I'm telling you, Timothy, there is a fight to be fought, and you need to fight it. And folks, you and I, if we're going to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we'll find ourselves in situations where we have to go opposite the flow. We've got to learn to swim upstream. We've got to do what God has commissioned us to do. And that isn't just about speaking out. Not everybody is called to be a spokesperson. Not everybody's called to be a shepherd. But everybody is called to follow Jesus. And when Jesus is going this way and the culture's going to hell, you're going to find yourself going against the flow. Is that clear? There is a fight to be fought. Now, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't get sucked into the idea that a pastor in New York or the ladies on The View or whatever are the enemy. They're not. The enemy is a lot bigger and smarter and better organized than those folks. We need to know our enemy and we need to fight with spiritual weapons. But if you read the list of spiritual weapons at the end of Ephesians 6, you'll find a couple of things. I'll give you three. Number one, all the weapons are in Christ Jesus. Okay? He is the truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is the good news. He's all of it. He is our salvation. So all the weapons are found in Christ Jesus. Secondly, you will find that truth, God's word, are essentials. They're not optional pieces of equipment. You've got to have the truth, and you've got to use God's word. The third thing is, there is no armor provided for our backside. None of it is, and be sure and put on that back piece. Be sure that you wear something to cover your backside when you're running away. That's not an option. That's not part of the armor. That's not listed there. All the armor listed is head to toe facing this way. All right? Well, I think some of it might have kind of wrapped around. Yeah, but it's not listed that way. Okay? Face the warfare and realize there is a fight to be fought.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Point number two. There is a king who is coming. The reason that we fight the way we do, the reason that we stand firm, all of that is tied to the fact that we know who our king is and we know he's coming again. There is a king who is coming. Look at this. In verse 14, he's charged to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Then even in the section that follows, instruct those who are rich in the present age. Got it? In other words, this is temporary. So people who are wealthy right now need to know that that's just right now. It doesn't mean they're going to be rich in heaven. Okay? If your investments are focused here instead of there, you're going to have a very different standard of living. That's one of the things they tell people who are beginning to contemplate retirement. But the idea is you need to be investing for the future, okay? And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't put money aside for retirement. I'm suggesting that if you're more concerned about putting aside money for retirement than you are about putting money away for forever, for eternity, you're not making good investments. Well, are you saying God needs our money? No, God doesn't need a thing. But God has commissioned us to spread the word around the world. And so we have a responsibility to use what he's entrusted to us for his glory and for the advancement of the gospel. Amen? So, he says, instruct those who are rich in the present age, and then look a little later in the paragraph, verse 19. Look at verse 18. It fits with what I was saying. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age. In other words, invest in the future. There's another age to come. Why? Because the king is coming. That's why. And I want you to see that once again, just like in chapter 1, he tells Timothy, so that by recalling them you may fight the good fight. Look at what comes just before that. Go back to chapter 1. Look at what comes just before that. Verse 17. Now to the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, why are you supposed to fight this good fight? Because you are under command from the one who is king. Now to the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Are you making your decisions on the basis that he is Lord? That he is the one who is king, that he rules over all. Because let me tell you, if you're not, you're going to look really stupid when the king shows up. If you act as if this world is my oyster, okay? If your choice of a funeral song is I did it my way, if your thought is that you create your own reality and that you can do what you want and everybody else can just get out of the way, you have totally misunderstood the situation. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And so if you know what's going on, you say, have your way. You are my king. I want to do your will. Have your way, Lord. Now, the king is coming. Jesus tells a parable about a man who was appointed to go and receive a kingdom. And while he was gone, some of his servants sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to be appointed ruler over us. He was appointed king, however, and he returned. And when he returned, he punished those who had not faithfully carried out his instructions, and he slaughtered those who had said, we don't want him to be our king. He says he slaughtered them. I don't like to think of Jesus slaughtering people. Well, it's going to happen. Jesus says he's going to come and reward those who have been faithful and destroy those who have rebelled and refused his lordship. Now, while I'm talking about preachers who get it wrong, there is a whole reservoir, river, if you will, instead of a reservoir, of preachers who will offer you a two-step salvation. You want to get saved, folks. All you got to do is acknowledge that you've sinned, believe that Jesus is God's Son and that he died on the cross to pay for your sin and rose again for you, and then confess him. That is, ask him to save you. And it's very simple. If you believe these things, you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you believe Jesus took the punishment, and then you say, okay, Jesus, please forgive me. Please be my Savior. Man, you're in. There's no call to repentance. There's no call to receive Jesus as your Lord, to surrender your life to him. None of that. We don't want to scare people off. That sounds like works salvation. That says you've got to change for God to save you. And instead, all you've got to do is believe. Believe what? Believe that your debt has been paid. Well, that sounds easy enough. Okay, sign me up. Free gift of eternal life? Sure. And then somehow those folks find that their life really hasn't changed and that the joy and the peace that they were promised isn't there and that they're still just as stuck in addictions and everything else as they were before. And, you know, I don't get it. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure that this thing's real. So then those same preachers have a second offer. It's, oh, well, the reason you're not experiencing the abundant life is because you haven't received Jesus as Lord. You see, you won't really find the peace and the joy that is promised unless you surrender your life now to Jesus as Lord. That's where true happiness is found. Oh, I thought you said all I had to do was believe Jesus died to pay for my sins. Well, that's all you have to do to go to heaven. But if you want to have an abundant life, then you need to surrender to Jesus as Lord. It's not in here. It's not in here. This thing talks about receiving Jesus. Well, yes. Not receiving Jesus as this, receiving Jesus. What happens when you receive Jesus, if you really receive him, is you receive the King, the Lord, the Master, the Ruler. So I don't think a person necessarily has to fully understand all the implications of Jesus' Lordship before they can be saved. Well, of course, I don't either. But you cannot reject the Lordship of Jesus Christ and be saved. That's not an option. Jesus calls it being born of the Spirit, born again, born from above. If you're going to be saved, you've got to be saved. Not just forgiven, but given a new life. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. And that means now my focus is not, can I do this and still go to heaven? My focus is, Lord, is this what you would like me to do? It's an entirely different orientation, isn't it? It's radically different. So you're saying we do these things in order to save ourselves? No. I'm saying when Jesus saves somebody, he doesn't just kind of save them, partly save them, somewhat save them. That's not the way it works. When Jesus saves somebody, he really saves us. When Jesus saves somebody, you want to do his will. When Jesus saves somebody, your goal is to please him. That's what we're talking about here. Because there is a King who is coming again. Third thing is that there's a treasure to guard. Paul tells Timothy, you've been entrusted with something, with a treasure, and you're to guard it. That means you don't compromise. That means if you go on a talk show, your treasure is worth more than their applause. Okay? But the best thing you can do to guard your treasure is to share it with others. This is a treasure that you confess. The good confession. What did Jesus confess before Pontius Pilate? What did he say? He said, you're right in saying that I'm a king and my kingdom is not of this world. It was all about his kingship. And that's exactly what Paul is reminding Timothy of. He's saying, we've got a king. He is the only real king. Everything else is temporary. We have a king who is coming again. And so I charge you, go back to verse 13, in the presence of God who gives life to all and of Christ Jesus who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Now, folks, that is the truth. He is the King. Therefore, we have a fight that needs to be fought. And we have a treasure that needs to be guarded. But central to our guarding the treasure is confessing Jesus as Lord. Not just with our lips, but with our lives. Living in such a way that people say, why are you different? And the answer is, because my King wanted me to do this. And I want to please him. My King is coming. You need to be ready.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.